Hallelujah. I started to say open to the book of change.
If you have your little, the handouts from this morning, we are going to use that from the 8:30 service. It's not necessary that you have this handout.
It's called The Lord's Present Day Speaking, January 1st through February 7th of 2010. Tim has been using them and expounding on them in his 8:30 service. And the one I particularly that's been talking to me this week is this one on change on page 8, where it says change, new strength, new understanding. Yes, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When I was trying to prepare, this is the only verse I could think of. I didn't look it up, though I should have. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. On the way here, I was even... Of course, I know it's springtime, and spring is always a season of change. I mean, the red buds are beautiful, and the dogwoods are beautiful. But you know what I was thinking? I said, no matter what you guys see on the outside, I never felt younger. I mean, on the inside, I feel like I'm... Like this is the first day of the rest of my life. It's like the revelation of becoming, of being a new creature in Him. Let me say it a different way. The revelation of being a different species. Even though we've been teaching on this for a while, there's something happening in me that on the inside, I am full of expectation. I am full of change. I am full of excitement. I feel like running. On the outside, my body doesn't. But on the inside, I'm running. I'm excited. And then this word just spoke to me today. This one that came actually on January 24th. Tim was reading it this morning. But it says, change is in the atmosphere. Great is the portion of this change. This change is well noted by those who are heeding the call of my spirit and giving themselves to me. They are in tune with my spirit's movings. Those who are not defining what they are sensing are not lessened. Their walk is in the process of moving into being more in tune with my spirit's movings. That includes us all. It is a time of change. Change is the first word Dave ever spoke to Sue and I prophetically. The first time we ever attended a service. Most of you have heard that story, but this was back in June of 1992, and Sue and I had had a horrible 5 years. We'd been saved and spirit-filled for a long time, but I call that the 5 years of hell that we went through. I was diagnosed with terminal cancer during that 5 years. All three of our teenage daughters went in rebellion at the same time. Sue was diagnosed with an 8-pound blood mass that would have, if it would have ruptured, it could have killed her at any time. We had no money hardly at all. I had to change occupations. My business failed. On and on and on. I could give you, this was not a pleasant 5 years. And plus, we had been really hurt in a church. And we just didn't trust, I'll just tell you the truth now, we just didn't trust preachers very much anymore. And the last couple that we've been with had hurt us pretty bad. They didn't intend to. See, that's the thing, you can have really well-meaning people, very sincere. But if they're sincerely wrong, you're still going to get hurt. Especially if they're wrong about doctrine, if they're wrong about God's word. Well, so we didn't trust preachers hardly at all. We had, over that 5-year period, we'd gone, there's a lot of good churches in Tulsa. We'd been to this one and that one, and there was a lot of good churches, we thought, but just none of them really felt like home, And so it was a Saturday night, we were at home, and we kept saying, things have got to change. The devil's beating our brains out here. We have got to change. And that was the operative word that we just kept talking about, change Saturday night. We got to find a church somewhere that we can be home, And Sue said, I don't know how she had found it out. She said, you remember that Dave Roberson guy? That funny guy we saw out at Bob Yandian's years ago. Remember how funny he was? I said, yeah. Said, I think that was 81 we saw him out there. She said, well, he's got a church just right down the road here, about 2 miles from the house. Why don't we try it? I said, okay, he's funny. Let's go see Dave. So we came in,
And purposely, we were coming to test the waters. Now, we hid over in this section about halfway back. We purposely got in a cluster of other people so that we didn't stand out or anything. We just wanted to blend in, test the waters, and sneak out, okay? And I'm not going to tell. There's a lot of funny things that happened I'm not going to get into, because what mattered was the service began. I don't think it was 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes into the service. And Dave just stops how he does. He just kind of looks in our direction, comes walking down this side of the platform right towards us. I'm starting to slump down in my chair, trying to look inconspicuous, you know. And he says, "You too," pointing right at us. We're looking all around like, he must mean you, you know. He said, no, you too. And I went, "Yes, you too." He said, "I saw the hand of God come down on you. Would you step out in the aisle and let me pray for you?" Now, what are you going to do? I mean, everything in me wanted to say, "We're new. We just came to test the waters." I wanted to go, "Leave us alone." But you can't do that. You know, he was being real polite and nice. Yeah, okay, we'll step out there. So he walks up to us now, and the first word out of his mouth, he says, "I see a word over, like a banner over your heads, and that word is change." There was not another thing he could have said that would have hooked us like that single word, because we knew the discussion we'd had. We knew why we were there that morning. It was, things have got to change. So he says, "I see this word over your, like a banner over your heads, and that word is change." And then he said something to me like, "And you need change, don't you?" And I went, yeah, we do. We need it bad. And I don't know what else he said. He just touched me on my cheekbone. He just reached out and just lightly touched me. I didn't expect anything to happen. I didn't know if there were catchers or anything. Thank God there was. To me, when he touched me, have you ever took two powerful electric wires and, you know, struck them together, that crackle? To me, I heard crackle, man, like electric wires. I go flying back, and good thing there was some catcher back there, and I wind up on the floor. I have no idea what he did with Sue. I'm gone, you know. He prayed something with Sue. But we left here knowing that the Holy Ghost had our number. Well, that was June of 1992. This is 2010, and we're still here. And boy, have we had change. I mean, we have had change in our lives, in our bodies, in our families. We have in the ministry, everything you can imagine. But yet right now, I sense we're coming into a new season of change. Like, okay, that was all good, but now you're about to have some change. Oh my God. The change that he's talking about, he does his best, I think, here to give us a foretaste of what's coming. And again, the Holy Ghost has got a tremendous job. I use this analogy. How do you really explain the things of the Spirit to people who are mostly still naturally minded, yet they're growing in the things of God? It would be like trying to go to Australia and finding the Aborigines out in the outback, and your mission is to try and explain jet propulsion to them, and they can't add 2 + 2. They, when it comes to scientific, how do you start? Where, you got to start somewhere. You want to describe an aircraft. What? How do you start with them? Shiny airplane. Go fast. You know, jet. I mean, God almost has to talk like that with us. Hopefully, as we mature, he's able to talk at a little higher level. But notice how he phrases what he does here. The third paragraph. "It has been said that it is of utmost importance to walk after my Spirit in fellowship with me. For by no other means will you enter into the change I am bringing, except by my Spirit." Now, let's just stop for a moment. Let's say sometimes it helps to rephrase something to you can see what it doesn't say. He says, there's no other way except this close, intimate fellowship with his Spirit. So that means church attendance alone isn't going to get it done. That means watching Dave change and hearing about his change. That isn't going to cause your change. That means while your neighbors are assimilating the New Testament, see, that's fellowship also, but you're not, that's not going to cause change. Real quiet. I must have the teacher anointing on me right now, see? Now what he says, there's one thing that's going to bring it. Now let's look at it again. It has been said it is of the utmost importance to walk after my spirit, notice, in fellowship with me. For by no other means will you enter, you enter. You may watch other people change. I'm not pointing at anybody for any reason. But he's saying, will you enter into the change that I am bringing except by my spirit? These things have been said, and today I emphasize this, and I ask that you take heed. Some will hear this asking as if I am imploring, for this season is of such intensity. Now, this young man in the second row here, it's his first day here, right? Right? Okay. Got baptized in the Holy Ghost this morning, just starting with his prayer language. How many of you all remember your first day? All of us remember our first day, too, see? All right, so he's got a copy of Dave's book, and his journey has begun. As he begins to read that book and apply the things in there, he's going to learn. How many knows he's going to learn a few things? And he probably knows the Holy Ghost really well already. But his ability to fellowship now is going to come. There, you think how many of y'all that's been here a while think there might be a little change in store for this fellow right here? As you begin to fellowship with the Holy Ghost on this new level, you're in for a wonderful ride, okay? Now, what he's saying to us old-timers, hello, those of us that's been around, I'll tell you plain, now, I've been here a long time now, tell you plain, the trap for old-timers is to slip into knowing the message and get comfortable with that and resting on the message you have done instead of the message you are doing. And especially as he begins to use you in any kind of ministry, because there is a certain satisfaction that comes from serving him and helping people. There is a certain satisfaction that comes from that. And there, it feeds something in you, almost like that service is the same as fellowship. It's not. It's not. You ever hear of burnout? Nobody ever started into the ministry intending to burn out. The lamp of the righteous should burn brighter and brighter, see? But I'll tell you what causes burnout. Start out initially and it's all God. You're in fellowship with God. You're loving Jesus. You know, it's wonderful and you're in prayer and everything is great, but little by little by little, as the transformation comes and he begins using you to any degree at all, it could be even, I don't mean in a pulpit type ministry. I mean on your job, at your school, however he's doing it. What happens is your fellowship time starts getting replaced with service time. And there is a certain feedback that comes from that that's satisfying to the soul, which you should have. It is good to serve the Lord. But what happens, what I find happening, and I've slipped into periods of this myself, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of detail about that because it's not any of your business. But just trust me when I'm telling you, you can slip into times like that if you're not, especially after 5 years, 10 years, especially after down the road. One day you'll wake up and you'll go, now when was it I decided to stop praying? And you never did consciously make that decision. And it's not that you don't ever pray. I'm not saying that, you'll still pray while you're making the coffee. You'll pray in the car. You'll pray a little bit here, a little bit there. But I'm talking about those times. I'm talking about when it was you and your first love. I'm talking about when it was you getting alone with him. Just give me my Bible. I just want to pray and read and spend time with the Lord and worship Jesus. See, if that time, I'll tell you from experience again. You starve your spirit and the flesh will come to fill that void. The flesh will come to fill that void. You'll find yourself doing things that you thought you'd never do again. Gary, what are they? That is none of your business. I'm not asking you about your stuff.
Well, what's the cure for that? 1 John 1:9, first of all. The blood is ever there. We talked about that last week. The blood is ever there, always there. This is something Adam never had. The blood of Jesus on the mercy seat, always there, to wash you and cleanse you again. Be fully restored like you never, one of our confessions, like you never disobeyed Him at all. And then go right back into fellowship with Him. Some of the other ones that were discussed today, just the title alone tells you what He was talking about. The other titles, the rivers of love, stay as long as you can. I am a lover who eagerly waits. He is always ready to pray. He is always ready to fellowship with you. He is the friend that has seen you at your worst and is still your best friend. Now, getting back to this one on change, I don't want to leave that paragraph too quick. I'm going to read that first sentence again. It is of the utmost importance to walk after my spirit in fellowship with me, for by no other means will you enter into the change that I am bringing. Yes. Y'all didn't ever know this Gary. The Gary I'm about to describe. Sue knows him. I was a guy who was going to be rich. I had a goal set, and I was going to be rich. I was going to be a millionaire by age 30. And I even wrote out a contract with myself. In that contract was this sentence, even God won't stop me. I told you I got hurt pretty bad in religion. I didn't care what God said. I didn't care what God thought. My goal in life, I was going to be a millionaire by age 30, and I set out to do it. And we're doing it primarily in the real estate business, and that was during the great spike. I mean, the real estate values are going up tremendously. Sue and I, in our first year in the real estate business, both of us were million-dollar producers, and that was selling houses that averaged about $18,000 apiece. That is closed business, not sales that didn't close. That's closed business. I did a little deal the other day. Sue and I together, in 1970s dollars, see, this was about 1978, the two of us together made more money then than our whole ministry brought in last year. And that was in 70s dollars. Okay. Every decision I made in life had to do with money, had to do with status, had to do with ego, my cars, my house, every decision I made, money was my God. There's just no two ways about it. And what you thought of me, I wore the right clothes, and I've been into all that before. Shandere Brastoro. The message tonight is change. So he's not going to let me go into a lot of details like I've done before. We only have a short amount of time. Let me tell you this. Even before we came to the prayer center, His spirit just about killed that spirit of competition on the inside of me. I never could do. I really never could make it in the real estate business after that, even though it was many years before we came here. But something about that serving money, just getting saved and spirit-filled without hardly any information on praying in other tongues or anything else, it put the axe came and fell on that tree. And money from that day forward, to a large extent, could not motivate me. Somebody here recently, the other day, was trying to get me involved in another one of these multi-level things, And what the product they've got is good. It's okay. I mean, I'm sure it's a good product, but I'm still skeptical. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it or not do it, and I told him that. So So then he starts going the other route. He says, "Well, now," and it's a guy that I know. He said, "Now, other guys are getting involved, and they may make, $500,000 this year." And I said to him back, I said, "Look, if I won't do it from the motivation of health, I sure won't do it from the motivation of money." It just doesn't move me anymore. You could say I'd make $10 million and it still wouldn't move me.
that kind of thing doesn't move me. Would you all call that change? See, I know the guy before, and I know the guy I am now. Then when we started here, my occupation, I was driving trucks at the time. But see, there was still a lot of religious junk on the inside of me when it come to money. And those first few years, especially that I was praying, I didn't seek him. I didn't try and make him teach me in that vein. But you know, the area where he began to teach me the most was, I call it kingdom finances. Because at the time, and it's still going on today, you can't even turn on Christian TV for 5 minutes. I don't care who it is, hardly, without all of a sudden now they've got, you know, going to sell you a little vial of sand from the Jordan River, some holy water this, and you know. Or they're going to, all you got to do is just sow your best seed. I have been given an anointing, a debt-breaking anointing from God. God will pay off your house. And just other lies in the name of religion, you know. Well, he began teaching me in those areas before we even had a ministry. He had me, I mean, the stuff I was writing, I had never heard before. It's all available now at our website, the things that he taught me. But he was preparing me ahead of time so that by the time we did get into ministry, I knew the truth. And I wasn't promising people stuff that wasn't true, just trying to get them to support the ministry. See? Well, again, how did that happen? By me wishing for it? By me just attending church? Y'all know the testimony. It was... He had me in the perfect job for a guy that needed to catch up. You know? I was driving those trucks, and I was getting paid anyway. All I had to do was shut off the CB radio, shut off the regular radio, and just give that same time to praying in tongues. And then when I could, then I'd listen to Dave's tape so I'd learn this message, you know. But he taught me, and great change came during that period. Well, let's fast forward a little bit. Still yet, though, in my thinking, like I taught this morning, though, I didn't understand a whole lot about the born-again trail. I was like, I knew I was saved. I knew I was going to heaven. I knew I'd been forgiven. I didn't hardly know. I knew these verses are in here, like if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I knew it was in there, but what does it really mean? And the thing of it is, no matter what you say you think it means, by your actions is what you demonstrate what you really believe. Well, I was walking around acting pretty much like an old sinner that's just been saved by grace. It was in my thinking, I was pretty much like, well, okay, yeah, Jesus, he can do that, but I know who I am. I mean, for crying out loud. Well, now he's bringing into a season of change again. And it's new creature change. It's a season for new creatures. We've got a new creature teacher. His name's the Holy Ghost, not Dave Roberson, by the way. But we can learn a lot of things that's taught by the Holy Ghost through Dave. But it's time for teaching for new creatures. So much has been taught to old creatures. You understand where I'm coming from? Like I was saying today, I clung to that old rugged cross because that's the way they taught me. And I love that old rugged cross. I am so thankful. But I'll never forget the day. But see, if you pray a lot in the Holy Ghost, the language of the Holy Ghost is dreams and visions. Now, he can speak to you in words, but pictures carry a lot more information. That's why email to me is the lowest form of communication on planet Earth. You can't hear the tone of a voice. You can't see their eyebrows. You can't see if their neck's bulging. You know, the veins are bulging. You don't know. And so it's really easy to misinterpret email. Radio carries more information because at least you can hear the tone of their voice. Well, are they happy? Are they mad? Are they glad? Are they sad? Video carries the most, where you can see the eyebrows and see the expression. See, well, that God talks a lot. His primary way of is pictures. Well, I was loving that old, I had a little mini vision one day. I've been praying in the Holy Ghost. See, what causes these things? Pray, you activate the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit by spending a lot of time praying in the Holy Ghost. Read Dave's book. Now, so I'm just minding my own business. I'd been praying, you know. And suddenly I saw myself at the foot of the old rugged cross. I mean, it was like I was back there at that time. I'm In this picture, I'm at the foot of it. I'm seated, and I've got my arms and my head resting on that old rugged cross. And I know Jesus is up there, and the blood is coming down, and I'm loving that cross, you know. And I grew up with all those songs about, I will cling to the old rugged cross. And I still love those songs. But in this picture, again, this image, all of a sudden, in my arms, instead of it being a cross, it was a big, like 6-foot snake. And it was a poisonous one. I mean, this thing's dangerous. How long do you think I clung to it? Ah! I threw that thing and I ran the other direction. Why? Because he's trying to teach me. That's not where the life is. That's where he took our death. That's where he became the serpent on the pole. That's where he became like Aaron's rod that was thrown down, that became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. That's where he swallowed up. You could say it this way. He took the whole sin of Adam into himself. He paid the price. It took that image for me to jolt me finally away from the cross. Now, the cross is wonderful. I thank God for the cross. But that's not the birth of new creatures. That's the death of old creatures. That's where he took our sin, our sickness, our shame, our poverty. He took everything and he paid the price for it. From God's point of view, the whole species of Adam died in Christ that day. But where our life begins is at the resurrection. He had to take me to that empty tomb. When I saw the passion of the Christ, I mean, my goodness. Amen. But really, the only part for us is the last 5 seconds. I mean, the last five, you know, where suddenly Jesus comes up out of those grave clothes and whoosh, in a beam of light, kind of, he goes zoom out the door. And I'm going, that's the beginning. And it's the end of the movie. We need a movie for new creatures. See? We're coming into a time of change, a season of understanding. I've been through several of those already. I've been through the change from serving mammon to serving God. I just can't be motivated by things that used to motivate me. And the amount doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't do it. Almost, Sue kind of wishes it did a little bit. Sometimes I feel bad that it doesn't a little more than it does. I don't mind driving the old car. I don't care, you know. Anyway. But, here he goes again. See, that's what he's saying. It's only by my spirit. You can't go there. You want to. How many want to go where he's talking about here? He's going, if you could, you would. Trouble is, you can't. And the only way to get there is by my spirit. Close fellowship with me. Again, here we go. And I will send the Spirit of truth. Turn to John somewhere, roughly 14. Here it is. No, it's 16. John 16, verse 13. See, and let's go to verse 12. We usually leave out verse 12. Jesus, after teaching the disciples for 3.5 years, think about it. Think about traveling from village to village. Think what it was like in the evenings when, I mean, sometimes I'm sure they had to camp along the road and have a campfire. You're sitting around a campfire roasting marshmallows with Jesus. You get to ask questions and sit there while he answers. How many of you like, boy, I'd like to have been on some of those discussions, you know. But after 3.5 years of hearing everything the man taught, and then him expounding privately to his disciples, it says later he would expound to them. After 3.5 years, he says this to you. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I heard Dave teach on that, and that helped. But eventually it took the Holy Ghost to get it across to me what he's really talking about there. See, Dave uses this analogy, and it's really good. He says, you know, you tell your son, here's the keys to the car. I want you to get in the car, drive down to the corner store, buy some eggs and milk, and bring it back to your mom. Here's the keys. Go do it. Trouble of it is that the son is 3 years old. His feet won't even reach the pedals. It's not that he can't understand your words. He has no capacity to do what you're telling him. That's partly what Jesus is saying here. But more than that, it's really worse than that. See, at this moment, these men were not born again. That's why he instructed them all the time with parables, trying to illustrate a spiritual principle using a natural thing like wheat and corn and that they could understand, that they could relate to. He said the same thing to Nicodemus. He said, I'm using earthly examples and you don't understand this. How would you understand if I told you heavenly things? You must be born again. 1 Corinthians 2, it flat tells you. It says, as long as you have the spirit of the world, you cannot know the things that are freely given to you of God. That's why he had to give you a new spirit, a spirit which is of God, so that you can know the things that are freely given to you of God. And it says in that same passage, we teach those things which the Holy Ghost teaches. But that teaching comes to your new nature. It's spiritual first, not mental. A lot of stuff compacted. But here he says it this way. He says, you cannot bear them now. There are things can you imagine him? And he loves these guys. These are his hand-picked disciples that he has personally hand-trained, sent them out to do his work. They have cast out devils, healed the sick. I mean, they've seen all kinds of miracles. And to them, he says, boy, I got a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you just can't bear them now. If I was Peter, which I relate, how many of you relate with Peter? I mean, go say on, Lord. Yeah, I can do it. I can receive it. He'll go, no, you can't. Why can't I receive it? You're a dead man. The things that I want to tell you, they're only spiritually discerned. You can't know them. You have no capacity to know these things. But then he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. I love the personal pronoun, not it. He. He will guide you into all truth. Hold out your hand like this. Say, Holy Spirit, you are the guide. You're the only one that has been sent, that I can put my hand into your hand. So you can guide me into all truth. Dave is trying to help me. Gary and Tim and others are trying to help me. But ultimately, it's you that's got to guide me. I'm trusting you. Now this will help you too. Say, I also know this about you. Holy Spirit, you are smarter than I am dumb. That gives me great consolation right there. See, he's a better teacher than we are students. The only thing really required that he cannot do, or that he will not do for us, he will not force your fellowship. I tell people this all the time. They go, boy, if I just knew what my call was, or if I knew what the next step was, I don't know if I should do this in the line today at least half. When you ask what do they want prayer for, at least half of them today, and it's very common, I need direction. The most common thing that I get all the time in the prayer lines, I don't know what to do next. I got to make a decision about this or that, and I need direction. Well, we have someone. How many of you remember he said he wasn't going to leave us as orphans? We have someone to lead us and guide us in every affair of life. The problem of it is we don't spend enough time with him to know, to receive that direction from him. Well, getting back to this document again. 1, 2, 3. The fourth paragraph says this. All of the understanding of the change has not yet unfolded. Dave says it to me like this all the time. Well, not all the time. He said it many times. Gary, don't stop praying. There are a lot of mysteries that we don't understand yet. If that was not the case, we would already be in revival. Because it's not God holding it back for some reason. His plan is for us to walk in it as quickly as we possibly can. Then I'll never forget the time that I got to attend Pastor Cho's church in Seoul, South Korea. And at one time, I don't know if it still is, at one time it was the biggest church on earth. They have service after service after service all day on Sunday. It starts before dawn and runs till after dark. And the thing, if I remember, I can't remember now how many people it holds, but it's a lot of people. And now, the Koreans are very efficient. They can get like 30,000 people in there, and they can get them out and get the next 30,000 in about 20 minutes. It's just amazing how they have that organized, you know. And then the next service starts. Well, the particular one that I was in, the place was full. It was about 3 in the afternoon. The service was in Korean. I didn't understand a word, but I can tell when God's there. And people got born again. You can tell when they were given the altar call. And several stood up, and people got born again. But the Lord had told me from the beginning, I was up in a balcony of the building. There was a wheelchair section down in the near the pulpit area, over to the side. And he told me, now pay attention to that wheelchair area. And they probably brought in, I'm going to say, 8 to 12, 13 wheelchair cases, people that could not get out of the wheelchair. And Pastor Cho believes in healing. I mean, they've had all kinds of miracles, and he's had miracles himself. But in this particular service, even though they had people go over there and pray for them, they wheeled out the same number that they wheeled in. And I heard him say to me there, don't stop praying the mysteries. It's not my will that one of them leave in a wheelchair. Don't stop praying the mysteries. Well, that's what he's saying right here. All of the understanding of the change has not yet unfolded. Let's come on down. We're going to run out of time here. Come down to the bottom paragraph here on page 8. The time period that has been waiting for you is upon you. Let me say that again. When should I start entering into this time of more fellowship, Gary? The time period that has been waiting for you is upon you to enter into greater fellowship with me for my abiding presence. It is key. Come and make the... I like it when he doesn't mince words. Well, I'm so busy. How many of you... No, I don't want to ask how many you're busy. You're all busy. Notice what he says. Come and make time to hear me. Come and make time. Come and make the time to walk into the grace that awaits you. This grace brings you into fulfilling more and more of the longings in your heart to know me and to see what your heart has cried out to see. Okay, I've got to finish with this. We all got killed pretty good the day that Pastor Dave did that service. Take the heart of the Father into war. And it's not like I had never heard him teach out of Luke 6 before. I remember when I first heard him, you know, for years all I knew out of Luke 6 was Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and running together shall men heap into your bosom. For years that's the only verse I knew in there. And then Dave was teaching us. Now let's see in the context what's really going on. And really what's going on is love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you and so forth. Even after I've had the understanding of that verse and understood now what it's talking about, when you're actually out there, I don't know about you guys, sometimes I do better with that verse than with that passage than other times. But boy, when somebody really does me dirt and they intended to do it and they're enjoying doing it, I have to really hunt sometimes. Now, where is the mind of Christ in this deal? Because I feel more like the sons of thunder. Should I call down fire from heaven and consume them? And if you're not careful, you get into me mode. Oh, deliver me. Oh, deliver me. Oh, deliver me. And you're the one that's on your way to heaven. The one that's in trouble there is them. Especially if they're not born again. Well, even if they are born again, if they're acting like that, they need help. But it's primarily talking about those that aren't born again. The only way we're going to successfully do this, how are you and the Holy Ghost going to walk together in that situation if we don't have the same heart in us that's in the Father?
even our prayers will be wrong. We'll be praying for deliverance for us when the mind of Christ is pray for the salvation of that person. Do good to him. Go the extra mile. Not only if he demands your vehicle, fill it up with gas, wash it, wax it. That's just real nice when Dave preaches it. That's just not the way we normally react. But it's the way Jesus reacts. And it's the way we will react as we let this change come upon us. Now I'm going to close with this. How many different ways did he say there was to enter into that change? How many? Don't be afraid. You got the right answer. One. There is no substitute for time in fellowship with him. And he's real blunt. He said, you make the time. If you want this change, you make the time. Because he's not going to do it for you. You make the time. Oh, now if you do, you know what really happens if you do this message? Here's the good part. Like, I want to fulfill my call. I want to fulfill my call. Okay? Do the message. If you really do that, do you know that you pass the torch from you to him? You pass the responsibility from you over to the Holy Ghost? Because if you pray, if you allow him, if you do your part and allow him to make intercession for you, he really is praying for you according to the perfect will of God. You pass that torch of responsibility really from yourself over to him. Honey, he don't fail. He'll get you, if we do our part, he takes a response. If he has to get you out of bed in the morning and put you to bed at night, he will get you where God wants you to be. You'd be right in the center of his will and almost going, how did that happen? Well, you pass the torch. You quit trying to do it, and you're letting him do it now, and there's all the difference in the world. I need to share this part of the testimony right now. I don't know why exactly. Most of you know that the reason I quit driving trucks is I was diagnosed with an incurable disease called supraventricular dicardia. That's a mouthful. But what it means is, most of the time I was okay, but I never knew when my heart would go into an irregular heartbeat. And a lot of people miss a beat. They call that arrhythmia. Well, this is the opposite. Your heart starts beating really strong, really hard. And if one beat is not serious, it might make you a little bit woozy. But if you get three or four or five of those in a row, your heart is pounding so hard, it evacuates the heart of blood. And you just black out. You have no warning. You just smack. You can't really drive trucks in that condition. Okay? So that was the end of my truck driving days. And they put me on a very strong medicine to regulate the heartbeat. And it did. As long as I took that medicine, I never had any more problems. Difficulty with that medicine was, at that time, I was approaching my 50s, and one of the side effects of that medicine is that it accelerates the onset of arthritis, which is the last thing you want. So I wanted to be healed, of course. They were saying there's no cure. Once you have it forever, and you'll have to take this medicine the rest of your life. Well, how many of you know we have inside information? You know, I got information inside my Bible covers that told me different than that. So one day Dave called me out, and he said, the time is here, and he said, you're going to get a new heart. Well, praise God. So I got in the line. Dave prayed for me. I go sliding up underneath about where they're sitting right there. It's Macko. I went right up under about there. And I knew the power of God came on me and everything. So what do you do? Well, it just so happened a week before, a guy came through about how he got healed. And when he got healed, he threw away his medicine. So I'm thinking about that guy. So I threw away my medicine. Now, God didn't tell me anything about throwing away my medicine, but I did it anyway. So I didn't take my medicine. Well, everything was fine for about 7 days. And on the seventh day, I had that same symptom again. I blacked out, hit the floor, cracked my head. And I was devastated. So I go in to see Pastor Dave. And I'll tell him something. He told me something I'll never forget. He said, God is not obligated to heal you because you threw away your medicine. He said, an action in the natural does not produce a reaction in the spirit. But action in the spirit always produces a reaction in the natural. I said, what does that mean? Can you get that down a little lower, Dave? He says, you need to go get your prescription filled and take it, just like they told you, but you need to do your own teaching. You need to start confessing God's word, calling yourself well, thanking God for your new heart, and then listen and pray in tongues, listen for his instruction. Well, so I did. I went and got the medicine. I started taking it, just like the doctor said. But boy, I started getting busy. And I would take that medicine and I'd make confession for 5 minutes. And I'd call myself healed. I'd thank God for my new heart, even though in the natural it didn't seem like at that moment I got one. But I remembered the power of God hitting me. Anyway, Gary, that went on for 3 days and you were totally healed. No. That went on for 2 years. I took that medicine, just exactly like it said. Then I confessed. I was calling myself healed and doing the word, speaking the word, and praying a lot and listening. Well, at one point, after about 3 months, I heard an instruction from the Holy Ghost. And he says, begin skipping every fourth dose or something, every third. It's been so many years now, I don't remember, but every third dose, begin skipping every third dose of that medicine. So I started doing that, and that pattern went on for a long time, but I continued to call those things that be not as though they were and speak the word over myself. After about 6 months, he said, now start skipping every second dose or something. Make a long story short, over a period of 2 years, he slowly weaned me off of that medicine. Finally, in May of 1998, I took the last pill in the bottle. I was fixing to go and get it refilled just like always, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, don't get it refilled. You'll never need it again. Your manifestation has come. That was in May of 1998. This is April of 2010. I've never had another dose of that medicine. I've never had another symptom. Okay? Now, I think he was one more time, again, teaching me the power of calling those things that be not as though they were. Jesus said, pray that, Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. There's no reason to pray that if his will's already being done here. Supraventricular dicardia is not God's will for Gary Carpenter or anybody else. I don't care what disease you have. I don't care what sickness you have. If you'll take God's word and put it in your mouth and call those things that be not as though they were, I firmly believe there is nothing that cannot be changed by the power of God's word. Did y'all get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.